Well, if you were here last week, you know that we kicked off our Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy, right? Advent Conspiracy, a series that really has become a Christmas tradition here at Dallas Four Square Church. This is our third Christmas, right? Yeah, this is our third Christmas here at Dallas Four Square Church, and each year we've used this series, we've used these things to talk through Christmas because we understand the need for us to step back and rethink Christmas. And so, but before though we dive into things this morning, I want to show you once again a quick little video that came across this week. My wife actually showed it to me. So let's watch this video called Forgotten Christmas. I think this video is a great example of what Christmas has become to our world, right? When you see the beginning of it, as opposed to what Jesus desires Christmas to be, right? Loving and caring for the least of these, reaching out to others. Last week I shared with you a little story about a group of pastors who got together back in 2006 and began to dialogue about Christmas. And they realized that what Christmas had become, right up here, all the lights, all the glamour, all those things was different than what God intended it to be. And so these pastors started talking about how could they do something different? How could they recapture the true heart of Christmas, of giving to the least of these, not about spending and doing all this stuff, but giving to the least of these. And out of these conversations between these four pastors came this thing known as Advent Conspiracy, the series that we go through each year. It started with just four churches back in 2006, 8 years ago, and now thousands of churches worldwide have joined in, us being one of them, in this idea of Advent Conspiracy. And these churches, these ones that are engaging in this, they're encouraging their congregations really just to stop and to think, what is Christmas really about, right? What is it really about? Not what does the world say it's about. What is it not? What has it become? What is Christmas really about? And so this Christmas season, we're walking through this series titled Advent Conspiracy, a series that focuses really on four main topics. Here's the four topics: worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Those are the four main topics each year of Advent Conspiracy. Now, last week, if you were here, we kicked off things with the first one, worship fully. And I shared the fact that we won't be people who spend less, who give more, who love all, if we aren't learning to worship fully, if we aren't learning to worship the King. It starts with worship. And I think as we learn to worship, as we learn to worship God fully, it will help us with these next two topics that we're actually going to talk about today. We're going to put the next two topics together: spending less and giving more. Now, I know when you hear that, spending less and giving more, it kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Wait, spend less, give more, that just doesn't compute, right? But the reality is, this is what it's about. It's about coming to the realization that Christmas has become more about consumerism in our world than about giving and helping others. I shared with you last week that Americans spend $600 billion, that's with a B, okay? $600 billion a year on Christmas. That's just America. That's a lot of money. You know what we could do with that money? You know how many starving people we could feed? You know how much water we could provide? I mean, that's a lot of money, $600 billion. And a lot of that money is probably spent on useless gifts, right? Gifts that end up in the closet, right, that end up in the garage or the back of the garage, that end up in the garbage, right? See, Advent Conspiracy is about rethinking how we do Christmas. It's about taking Christmas back from the consumeristic and thoughtless celebration that it's become. And yes, I did just make up a new word. It's underlined in red there, so that means it isn't right. But consumeristic, all right? And thoughtless celebration. And our desire is to take it back and once again make it a joyous occasion where we worship, right? Where we rejoice. We experience joy in the salvation that was brought to us by the newborn King, a Savior that we can celebrate and that we can learn from by giving gifts that are meaningful, that are thoughtful, that are maybe even sacrificial, right? Like His gift to us. Now, I know that not everybody in this room falls into this consumeristic stereotype, okay? I know that, and I believe there are people here that are very thoughtful, that give meaningful gifts, that are sacrificial in your giving, all right? And to you this morning, I just encourage you, keep it up. That's what it's about. Continue to make that the way you do Christmas, all right? But I know that for many people, Christmas has become a time where we buy and where we receive gifts with little thought behind why we give them or who that we're even giving them to at time. Oh, I got cousin so-and-so this or that or whatever, right? And this is one of the reasons I'm passionate about Advent Conspiracy. Because I myself have gotten caught up in the world's view of Christmas at times in my life. When my kids were first born, I went a little crazy at Christmas time, right? My wife and I, we spent way more money than we should have spoiling our kids. Before we had kids, you ever seen Christmas Vacation? I wouldn't watch it unless you see it on TV because I found that out the hard way. All right? Stuff's edited out of it. You know, I always seen the TV version and then so we rented it. Oh, whoa, there's some stuff on it. Anyways, the lights, you know, if you've ever seen that, the massive light display and this whole thing, that was me when we first got married. Our house, man, I spent tons and tons of money because I wanted to be the greatest, best house around, all right? And there's nothing wrong with that except for the fact that I was spending money like crazy. And on our kids, early on when we had kids, we would spend money like crazy spoiling them. And here's the thing, this is where you know there's an issue because the credit cards began to show it, right? And here's the interesting thing that I discovered kind of over the years, especially as my kids got older. Yes, they love toys. They love the newest things, the newest stuff out there, all that stuff. But I realized my kids really, as much as they like the toys, they would much rather play with me and hang out with me and do things that we can play together and do together than they care about just these toys that we throw at them and give them. You see, sometimes the greatest gift that we can give is ourselves. It's our time with others. This is what Advent Conspiracy is about. It's discovering what's important at Christmas time. It's about giving of ourselves to others. It's about getting back to celebrating Christmas in a way that's reflective of how the Lord would want and desire us to celebrate. Ways that were exampled for us through the very first Christmas. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up them up to Luke 2. We're actually going to read two different scriptures as we're talking about spending more and giving less. But we're going to start in Luke 2 this morning. Most of you are probably familiar with this scripture. It's where the angels come and announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, as I pull mine out, you can follow along with me here. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. This is what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." I love these scriptures. These scriptures tell us God's favor has come upon us in the form of this little baby, Jesus, the Messiah who was born in a manger. And the angels tell us this is good news of what? Great joy, right? We talked about joy this morning. We lit the joy candle. Good news of great joy. And it's something to celebrate with people because it's what? It's for some people? No, that's not what it says. It's for all people. It's for all people. Christmas is a time when we should share and experience the joy of what Christmas has done for us. What does Christmas mean to you? What has Christmas done for you? You see, we do this, we share this by giving, by loving, by sacrificing, and by growing in relationship with the Lord and with others. This is what the first Christmas was all about. And this is what I really believe God intended all Christmases to be about. But unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and like many things, over time, things slowly change, right? Things that started as this, over time, kind of fade. Something that is meant to be wonderful and holy, at times in our world, has become corrupted by our own humanity. And instead of being good times of great joy, Christmas has become good times of stress, right? And a time that often lacks joy in our life. And I know that's true for myself. There was a time in my life where I did not like Christmas. Why? Because I knew I'm going to run up bills. And back in the day, church, it seemed like we had something going all the time, all through December, and it was like all these things I had to get done, all this money I had to spend, and it's just like I dreaded Christmas. We shouldn't dread Christmas. We shouldn't stress. It shouldn't be a lack of joy. It should be a time of great joy. So how do we get back to celebrating the birth of Christ with less stress and more joy that is for all people? Well, I think a great start is if we can learn to be people who spend less and give more. Now, I want to start by saying this. Advent conspiracy is not about eliminating gift giving, okay? It's not about eliminating giving gifts or eliminating even spending money at Christmas. This series is just about rethinking how we do Christmas and making sure that we're putting thought into why and what we're doing. Right? It's about putting an end to the thought that bigger and more expensive gifts show people that we care even more for them, right? Because that's the problem in our world. We think, oh, to really show them I care, I got, oh, they'll know I don't love them. This is the second generation, and the third generation is out. They will know I don't love them if I don't give them the newest, best item, right? And honestly, it's this kind of mentality that has our world, America, actually not just our world, has America spending $600 billion a year at Christmas. So with this in mind, let's talk about how we can celebrate with less stress and more joy. To get back to celebrating how the Lord would want us to, I think we need to spend less and give more. So really, what does that mean? Well, let's first talk about spending less. Now, in this economic environment, which I know we're doing better than we have been in years past, but you would think that in this economic environment, all right, don't say it 10 times fast because you'll mess it up, but you would think that we wouldn't need to hear a message on spending less, right? Because you would think we'd realize, man, things are tight. We need to control these things. But for some reason, we still do. But I think it's this. Here's the thing. I don't think the problem is as much a spending issue as it is a heart issue. It's not so much as much a spending issue as it is a heart issue. You see, the reality is we have to ask the question, why? Why are we spending the money that we're spending at Christmas time? Why are we spending the money that we're spending on this or on that? See, oftentimes I think it has to do with what we're wanting to buy. And if you get to the core of it, it's not that we want to buy toys and stuff. It's that we're trying to buy fulfillment and contentment. Oftentimes, right? We were trying to buy fulfillment and contentment for our kids, for our friends, for our loved ones, for whoever it is, you know? The newest, hottest gadget out there is sure to bring our kids or our family contentment. That's what oftentimes we think. And we find ourselves breeding this contentment through stuff, attitude. And that's how our world lives. That's what brings them contentment, right? The more and more and more you give me, it's contentment for them. And we can't breed this contentment through stuff attitude. Now, again, I'm not here to spoil people's plans for Christmas. I don't think it's wrong to have those things, to have certain things, you know, to have the newest stuff at times, right? Again, it's what can you afford? It's what works for you. There's nothing wrong with having them, using them, but I think we need to be cautious in what are we really seeking in buying these things. Because regardless of what the world tells us, we cannot buy happiness. We can't. And a lot of times that's what we're trying to do. I want to make them like me. I want to make them happy. I want to make them this or that. We can't buy happiness. Now, it may seem like we can for a moment. Right? Oh, look, they're happy. I did. I bought happiness, right? But that kind of happiness only lasts for a moment. It quickly fades away. One of my favorite illustrations, I think, that points this out is actually an illustration that I shared with you just about a month ago. It's funny, as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh man, that would go really well with this. It's the illustration of the Bugle Boy jeans commercial. I don't know if you remember me sharing that, but I kind of walked you through that. But I thought, I don't want to walk them through the illustration. So I went online and I Googled Bugle Boy jeans. 1988, Bugle Boy jeans commercial. So I want to show you this video real quick so I don't have to walk you through it. Let's watch it.
Excuse me. Are those Bugle Boy jeans that you're wearing?
Oh, yes. They are Bugle Boy jeans.
Thank you.
I have no idea what they're trying to sell there. Buy our jeans, and pretty girls will pass you by, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what they were trying to sell there. But the reason I love this commercial and the illustration of this commercial, because it's a perfect example of what the world does to us, right? They tell us to buy their clothes, right? Buy the latest stuff, as it will bring us joy. It'll bring us happiness. And instead, what happens? We get left on the side of the road, right? We get left on the side of the road thinking, what in the world just happened? And guess what? Now your bank account's empty, your credit cards are maxed, and you have nothing to show for it. The reality is we can't find our contentment in stuff. Isaiah 55:2 says this, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" Listen, listen to me now. He must want you to listen because he says it twice in there. Listen, listen to me. "And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." We can't buy fulfillment and contentment for ourselves or for others. We see here in Isaiah, true contentment really only comes from God. the Lord, right? Seeking contentment by buying things or by thinking we can give it away honestly only increases our stress in life, right? I got to do this for them. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, crud. I can make it up next month. I can, you know, and it causes this stress in our life. And it leaves us empty and anxious as we continue to seek those latest and greatest things for people to fulfill them, to fulfill us. I believe that if Christmas is going to be different, we have to learn the secret of being content and teaching that to our kids as well. Content with the Lord. Contentment only comes from Him. You see, I would guess that whatever the latest, greatest thing that you or your kids got for Christmas last year probably doesn't give you the same joy and thrill that it did back then, right? A year later, it's like, well, yeah, that's old news, right? The things of this world are quick to fade away, but God is the one constant. God is the one faithful thing. He is where we find true fulfillment and contentment. And that's why we started last week with learning to worship fully. It starts with Him. He must be our contentment. When we're drawing close to the Lord and worshiping Him, it's then that we experience His peace, His joy, His contentment that can only come from Him. So this Christmas, my encouragement to you is that you don't allow your spending to be about seeking contentment and fulfillment in your life. And I believe if that's our heart, we will ultimately spend less on things that we don't need to be spending money on this Christmas. We'll rethink Christmas. We'll rethink why we do things. And then, as we do that, it will open up the opportunity for us to actually give more. Now, I want to say this. Giving more doesn't necessarily mean giving more money, okay? Because that's what we think, oh, spend less here, give more, you know? It doesn't necessarily mean giving more money. Now, it may. I shared last month, our family, we cut some things out of our life in November to try to save money so that we could bless people and give to people that were in need during Christmas time. And so we did that. We cut out some things. We sacrificed some stuff. I got rid of TV. I've had to watch, you know, the Heisman on the internet type thing, you know, and stuff, you know. So, and you can't pause anymore. I can't do some of those things. We gave up some things and to save money financially so that we could give that money to others. But it doesn't necessarily mean giving more money. It's really learning to give more like Jesus did. If you have your Bibles again this morning, I told you we had two scriptures I wanted to look at. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 1, the start of the New Testament. This is a scripture where the angel appears to Joseph and tells him not to leave Mary, where it found out that Mary was pregnant. He's thinking, oh, great. It's not by me, and so it's got to be by someone else, and he was going to leave, and the Lord said, nope, this is my child. I want you to stay and to marry her. And so I want to read that scripture to us this morning, and I really want to look at what it says about Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. On that first Christmas, Jesus came to be with us. And what he gave us, it wasn't presents. Jesus didn't come and give us presents, right? Instead, he came and gave us what? His presence. Okay, there's a difference there, right? Presence and presence. I don't know if you can catch it, but there's a difference. He gave us his presence. You see, one of the ways that we can honor Christ this Christmas and get back to how Christmas was originally celebrated from the beginning is by giving fewer presents and giving more of your presence, more of yourself. Jesus gave us himself, and we can do the same by giving more of ourselves to others this Christmas season. What if we actually put thought into the gifts that we gave, right? Instead of, we do that. Oh, stop, get some gift cards. Stop, get this, whatever. And we throw these cards at, you know, our people in our family that mean nothing, right? We just throw that stuff out. And what if we put thought and time into the gifts that we gave? What if we gave relationally instead of just buying stuff that they probably won't use in the first place? As I was looking up Advent conspiracy this last week, I found a story about a son who gave his father, because it was sharing stories about how they gave relationally, he gave his father a bag of gourmet coffee beans. And you think, what's so special about a bag of gourmet coffee beans? Well, the thing is, there was a special note that went with the coffee. This is what it says. It said, "Dad, the only time you can drink this coffee is when you're drinking it with me. We will set up a regular time for us to have coffee together and for us to be able to sit and talk and for me to be able just to listen to you tell stories." I didn't think that was going to catch me. This wasn't just a present. It was a gift that involved his son's presence, right? Being with his dad, hanging out with him, setting up a time to be relationally with him. Yeah, he could have thrown him some coffee. He could have thrown him a Starbucks card for him to drink coffee. He loves coffee. That's great. But instead he said, "No, Dad, I want to sit down and have coffee with you." It wasn't just a present. It was a gift that involved his son's presence. And I think that would be a memorable gift, right? Because it's a gift that shows the value of family, the value of time, the value of relationship. It's not just giving a bag of coffee. It's giving yourself. It's giving your time, giving all that you are. I think there are so many creative things that we can give that aren't expensive from a monetary perspective, right? But they're priceless from a relationship, from a relational perspective. Now the thing is, it takes time. It means we have to stop and think about what we're going to do. And I encourage you this year, I encourage you to spend less and to give more by learning to give like Jesus gave. To give more of your presence, to give more of you. I shared earlier that I've come to realize my kids care more about my time with them than they really do about the gifts. And yes, they love the gifts. But if it was to choose, I can tell you my kids would choose to be with their dad more than with the gifts. And so I encourage you as we walk into this Christmas season, this isn't, oh, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. I'm not here to lay things out. I'm here to encourage you to stop, to think and to pray. How would God have you do Christmas this year? It's what God's doing in your heart. This is a journey my wife and I, we've been walking on for the last 5 or 6 years of learning what it means to really rethink Christmas. And it took us 5 years into it, 6 years, I don't know, it's been 5 or 6 years, that we finally this year did the thing in November where we cut things out so that we could really give at Christmas time to others. And so I encourage you to think about it. Pray about it as a family. Ask the Lord to help you, to show you how can you spend less but give more of yourself this Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. His presence, that was the greatest gift. And I want to learn to give like Him this Christmas season, to give more of myself than to just give gifts. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And Lord, I know it's a hard word for me to speak, because I know I've been on a journey, and sometimes I feel like I'm just, I don't know. I'm not trying to speak down or say anything as if I'm better than anyone, Lord. We've been on a journey of what it means to rethink Christmas, and as You've taken me on that journey as the pastor of this church, Lord, You're helping me to encourage others on that journey, and that's my heart and desire this morning, Lord. That people would realize that Christmas shouldn't be a time of stress, a time that we dread. Because I know I was there, and I've been in that place where I forget that Christmas is about joy. Christmas is about hope. Christmas is about love. It's about peace. It's about all these things that we can so easily forget when we get caught up into the things of this world, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in lives, in my and my wife and family's life, in this church. I know I've talked to many people that are on this same journey, and I just pray You would continue to challenge us as individuals, Lord, to rethink Christmas, to rethink what it means to just serve You and to live our lives for You, Lord Jesus. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's not a one time of a year thing, Lord. It's a 365 days out of the year thing of living out Christmas every day, giving more of ourselves to others, Lord. May You challenge us. May You encourage us. May You help us to learn to walk this out. And especially, Lord, during this time and this season that we're in right now, Lord. May this be one of the most joyous, most hope-filled, wonderful, love-filled, amazing Christmases that we've ever experienced this year, Lord Jesus. Why? Because You are the center and the focus of it all, Lord. May we worship You fully. May we spend less and give more and exalt You in doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.